Now let's continue on. Let's come to Psalm 115 and verse 17. Again, what we're following along with is, what is the state of the dead? All right. When someone dies, regardless of age, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. And that's the grave. All right, let's look at another psalm here. Psalm 6 and verse 5. Their thoughts perish. They know nothing. They're not in torment. They're not in heaven. They're returning back to dust. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Verse 5. For in death there is no memory of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? Okay? Now, let's come again to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at some other scriptures here concerning the dead. And of course, what Solomon was lamenting here was that he's going to die. He's going to leave all these things to someone, and his son didn't turn out to be too good of a someone. Okay? He says, as the fool dies, so does the wise. So let's look at some things here in the book of Ecclesiastes. All right. Ecclesiastes, let's pick it up here, 7. First of all, we'll go here to 7. It's not the 7th chapter, it's the 3rd chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 19. For that which happens to the sons of men also happens to beasts. Even one thing happens to them. As one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no advantage over a beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all return to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man, whether it goes upward, that is to God, and we see, yes, it does, and the spirit of the beast, whether it goes downward into the earth. Now the spirit is which gives life, but let's understand something concerning the spirit of the beast. If it goes downward, it goes into the earth and probably just dissipates and becomes energy, because everything that has been created has been made of the things that are not seen. The spirit of man is different. And then we will see the spirit of man and God for those who are converted. All right, let's come here to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Now, Ecclesiastes, the whole chapter there, is symbolic of what it's like to get old. Okay? He says in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. When there's pain, when all the things of age, gray hair, no hair, okay, and the years of old age draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Okay. Your eyes get dim when the sun or the light or the moon or the stars are darkened or the clouds return after rain. In other words, you look out when it's sun shining and it doesn't look any different than it is when it's a cloudy day. Okay? In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, you get old and you get shaky. And the strong men are stooped over. They're all bent over. You know, and you look at these little babies born, you look, oh, that's a perfect little baby. I mean, they even said the same thing of Hitler and Stalin and so forth when they were born, you know. Except I think Esau, he was so covered with hair, they said, what is this? Okay. And the grinders cease because they're few. Those are your teeth. Okay? And the eyes of those who look out of the window grow dim. And the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. In other words, you're going to be shut in. You're going to have a hard time eating your food. We can be thankful for dentists. You know, today, I mean, imagine this. There are enough things that you can really take care of yourself. You know, person gets ready to go to bed, out come his teeth. Plunk, puts them in there to be cleaned overnight. And then, boop, boop, out come his contacts. Or he takes off his lenses, glasses, okay? And then he takes out his hearing aid. And then he takes off his toupee, okay? And then he goes to bed and snores. Okay? Well, this is what it's talking about here. Verse 5. Also, when they are afraid of heights and terrors along the way, and you do get afraid of heights when you get older, and the almond tree shall blossom, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, all the plumbing shuts off. Okay? Because man goes to his long home, that is his coffin, and the mourners go about the streets. So he says, consider all of this before the cord of silver is loosened, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at its cistern. In other words, you lose all your life forces. So a good place for a lot of young people to go, there are a couple of good places. Number one, to the emergency, maybe there are three. So we'll say three. Number one, the emergency center at a hospital on Friday and Saturday night, and watch the accidents and watch the drug overdoses and watch the drunks come in, watch the different ones come in, and remember, don't do that. Good object lesson. Another one would be go to a rest home where all the people are old. And they're all there. They're being taken care of very well. I think in America, we take care of the elderly better than almost any other society, but they're all waiting for death. You know, and you look at this little baby, and then you look at what happens when people get taken up with drugs, and then you look at them when they get old. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, I saw a little girl walking along, nice little girl. Then I looked up, and here is this huge, humongous woman, and I looked at her and looked at the little girl and thought of the little baby, and I was wondering if the little girl saw the woman and asked the question, will I be like that when I grow up? Or what happened? You know? See? Don't know. Same way with men. Okay? And I can attest to the fact that once you get it on the weight, you virtually don't get it off. That's part of everything going to pot. Now notice, the end of it is verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. God gives the spirit. It goes back to God. Okay. Now then, let's go back to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's see, where does the Spirit go? Goes back to God. What does God do with it? God, heavenly Jerusalem, okay, you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the joyous festival gathering, and to the church of the firstborn, registered in the book of life in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just who have been made perfect. Now, since you have no thought when you die, the spirit goes back to God, but what is on that spirit is recorded just like this. This can contain 2.5 sermons. But they know that human beings, one cell is everything that you are. Every cell that you have has your own genetic DNA on it. Okay? What is it with the spirit? It goes back to God, but if it's not in a brain, it can't function. That's why there's no thought, but the thoughts have been recorded, just like on this little chip. It records a sermon. All my words are there. And then we process it and we send you a CD. It is totally silent all through mail, right? You know, it doesn't come there preaching. Open it up. Hello! <You know? laughs> No. What do you have in order to get the information that we had on here that we put on a CD? Or in this case, we're doing a video and it's the same thing. It records the picture and it records the sound. But as soon as you take the chip out, though it is there, it's inoperable. It's meaningless. You've got to have the right equipment to make it work, correct? So the right equipment for the converted person whose spirit with the Spirit of God goes back to God, what is the right equipment? A spirit body and a spirit mind. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. We are partakers of the divine nature. See? Yes, we are. But we're just like this chip. So I don't know how God stores the spirit, but he's got the name. He knows where it is. He knows who you are. He knows who you will be. And so when the resurrection takes place, now how's the resurrection going to take place? Okay, we'll talk about the resurrection here in just a minute. There are some problems in understanding the resurrection. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus resurrected 3 people. One was the boy in Nain, the city of Nain, who was the only son of a widow. They were carrying him out in the coffin. So he stopped the coffin. He said, I say to you, young man, arise. Whoop! There he was. The dead know nothing. The command of Christ comes back to life. And he gave him to his mother. Okay? Now the other one was the daughter of a ruler of the synagogue. And when he got there, he prayed for her, took her hand, said, stand up. She stood up. Her spirit returned. Because remember, James 2:26, the body without the spirit is dead. So she was dead. Christ raised her up. Her spirit came back into her. Was the same person, right? Yes. Then we have Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is a type of why we have the second resurrection. Because even though he was faithful and was a disciple of Jesus Christ, he died before the giving of the Holy Spirit, correct? So had he remained in the tomb, he would not have had an opportunity for salvation at that time, correct? Yes. So Jesus raised him back to life, and I'm sure that Lazarus and his 2 sisters were part of the 120 that we find there in Acts, the first chapter. Received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, will be in the first resurrection. Likewise with the saints, when their tombs opened when Christ died, and then after his resurrection, they came back to life and went into the city. Now, all of these are easy to understand because they're recent deaths. Okay? But what about the person who is burned to a crisp? Ashes. no grave. How about someone who has been eaten by sharks? No grave, no bones, no nothing. Digested, goes through the shark, fertilizes the ocean. But the spirit goes back to God. So the spirit sits there. If you're converted, then the resurrection takes place. Now, the resurrection is a born-again reconstitution of yourself with a spirit body and a spirit mind. It says that we will shine like the sun. That's what Jesus said. So that means we will have the ability for glory. So how does God do this? Well, he's got them all up there right alongside his throne room. But he wants the world to understand that there is going to be a resurrection. So I believe, so I'll have to ring my cowbell in absentia. I don't have it out here. Since the growing and developing and everything of our spiritual character was on the earth and we lived on the earth, then wherever it was that you died, or close proximity thereby, God sends that spirit and creates right there, resurrects you to a spirit life. Now, a lot of them have been burned. A lot of them had their heads removed. John the Baptist was buried without his head. Well, that's no problem to God. He's not going to use the current body. The only bodies that he is going to use that are current bodies are those who are still alive. And we will see, Paul says, that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant. Bang! All the rest are in some sort of non-existence, dust, dry bones, decomposition, and yet God is not going to lose a single one. So that's what he has to do. Now, when we come to the second resurrection, it's the same thing. People, all of those who died in the flood, where are their bones? Where are their graves? They didn't have any grave. They weren't buried. They were all drowned. What about those who die in accidents? Never called. What about little children? What about aborted babies? They have the spirit of man, and wherever God keeps the unconverted spirits that qualify for the second resurrection to receive an opportunity for salvation, God has them there. And he just reconstitutes them with new dust. Dust you are, and to dust you return. He's not going to use the same corruptible dust that you were in the flesh, because that's gone. So he has to do something like that. All right. Now let's come back here to 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection chapter, and let's read about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Now it's very interesting here. Very interesting. Just as a little side note. Verse 34. Let's go there. And this helps us understand why the Apostle John wrote what he did, that no one has ascended to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God, and this I say to your shame. Okay? Where is it there? They say the resurrection has passed. All right? I know it's right here. Okay. Yes, if there's no resurrection, Jesus was not raised. But they didn't have the knowledge of the resurrection. Okay? So we'll find it as we go along. Come up here to verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So your little chip stored with God of who you are, you're sleeping. Now, they even have that with computers, don't they? You can put it in sleep mode. Okay. The computer's there, but it's not doing anything. So that's how God views death. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Now, we know that according to the day of Pentecost, that that is undoubtedly the day of the resurrection. But how is God going to do it around the world? Is it going to be all, everywhere at once, or is it going to go like as the earth turns? And you come to this time zone and whoop, hear the resurrection of the saints. And then you go to the next time zone, then that happens. And we know that in Matthew 24, the angels then what? They take us up and we know to where? The sea of glass. So we know that God has to do the resurrecting or the reconstituting spiritually on the earth. And I think that the whole world is going to see the resurrected saints. God wants the world to know. It's not going to be a secret rapture. Okay? All right. Let's continue on here. Verse 35. Nevertheless, someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? And the question that is never answered by the Protestants and Catholics is, if the immortal soul goes to heaven, how does that square with the resurrection? If they're already in heaven, why do they need to be resurrected? And their version of an immortal soul is, you have consciousness, you have being, you can talk with God, you can do things. You know, little two-year-old girl died, and people were wondering, well, how come God didn't heal? Because it was in a Protestant church where they had a lot of prayers, and they prayed, had difficulty with the birth, and the birth was fine, but later the little girl died. And the minister said, well, she has the ultimate healing. She's in heaven with Jesus right now. But the New Testament shows if you're dead, you're asleep until the resurrection. And there's an order of the resurrection. Then there is the second resurrection, where it says in Revelation 20 that the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are over. And so we know all of that concerning the last great day. Okay? All right. Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that shall be, rather it is bare grain, maybe of wheat or one of the other grains. And God gives it a body according to his will, and to each of the seeds its own body. Likewise, all flesh is not the same flesh. Rather, there's one flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish, another of birds. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is different and the glory of the earthly is different. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. And so we can see that, especially today, with the fantastic knowledge that we are able to see in the universe. There are those who believe, and I believe too, that the earth is situated in a unique place, and it's about the only place in the universe where you can look out into the heavens and see the vastness of the heavens. You can't do it on Venus. You can't do it on, Mercury. You can't do it on Mars because no life is there. And if there was water, what happened to it? Okay? Certainly can't on the rest of the planets. And to go to the nearest star would take 4 light years. And that means every second you are traveling 186,000 miles per second for 4 years. Imagine if you ran out of razor blades. Okay. So he says, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And if you don't believe, your body is corrupt. Stop and think just a minute. Regardless of how beautiful a woman may be, or how handsome a man may be, or whatever category of viewing their exterior, the interior is the same. It's full of acids, fluids, partly digested food. You have your spleen and your pancreas going squirt, squirt over here on this side. And you have your liver going over here, squirt, squirt on this side through the gallbladder. And if you have ever vomited up bile, you know, bile is vile. Yeah, okay. And then you know the duty you have every day, sometimes many times a day. And you know what happens when you're sick and you got to run there many times in a day? It's putrid, it's stinky, it's miserable, and yet God made the body so the exterior is as it is, and it hides all this corruption and muck and yuck and, you know, goop and poop and all of that, see? But all of that's necessary, see? So we are of corruption. And that's why Mary said when Jesus came to resurrect Lazarus, when he was in there 4 days, she says, Lord, he stinks. See? Okay, likewise. Now, there's one occupation I would not like to do, and that is be an undertaker. Handle all of that death and all of those things. Boy, okay. It's not the same body, see? It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, weak and old and frail and wrinkled and small and withered. It is raised in glory to shine as the sun. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Because God has the key. He has your spirit, which is sleeping. And he brings it to the earth and gives you a spirit body and a spirit mind. Then you look around and say, ooh, what is this? You know, you got to learn how to use this now. You know, wonder how a spirit body works. Well, I wonder if there's going to be an angel and say, okay, now here on page 4 of the manual, here's how you start. I don't know if it will be that. Verse 45. Yeah, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now verse 45. Accordingly, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, or a living being. The last Adam became an ever-living spirit. However, the spiritual was not first, but the natural. Let me stop right here. All pagan religions, including the Mormons. Now, I don't know how the Protestants view things now or not. But they say we were all part of the stars in heaven. And Adam and Eve had to sin so they could bring forth children so that the person in heaven can come down and possess you. See? That saying, the spiritual came first, right? But the natural came first. Okay? Then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the one made of dust, so also are all those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly one, so also are all those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, and it's still a secret of God. Just exactly how he's going to do this, he alone knows, correct? We can surmise some of them. We can see by the resurrection of some people who died and were resurrected. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Okay? Now, let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4, because it talks about the resurrection here at this place. Verse 14. Now here is where the Protestants also get it wrong, and here is where they believe in the rapture. Verse 14, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. Now verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in exactly the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now the question is, you see, if they believe in a mortal soul, they say, well, they're up there with Jesus now, and he will bring them with him. But when are they with Christ? Remember, there's no thought. There's no praise. You are just there in a sleeping mode. You have to be given a spirit body and a spirit mind. When are they with Christ? Not until the angels take them up to meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass. We'll see it right here. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will be changed first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Now where is the Lord coming after that? With the saints. Revelation 19, back to the earth, correct? Yes. All right. How far back does some of this knowledge really go? All the way back to Job. So let's go to Job 14. Job 14. And let's read that. Job 14. So we're going to cover a few verses here because I think he does a good job of explaining this. Look at all that he went through. You know, the key thing concerning Job is he had to be a righteous man to go through what he went through. If he was not a righteous man, he would have cursed God. But the problem is he didn't ascribe his righteousness to God, that it all came from him. His problem was it was his and his alone. So he had to come to see that the things that he did that were right and good, he was only following what God said in the first place and should have given God all the honor and glory, shouldn't have taken it to himself and demand that his righteousness be weighed in the balance against God's righteousness. That's sure to get you in trouble with God. Okay, verse 1, Job 14. Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Sound like your life? Yes, indeed. He comes forth like a flower and withers. He also flees as a shadow and does not stand. And you do not open your eyes upon such a one, and you do rather open your eyes upon such a one, that's me, and bring me in judgment with you. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. For his days are fixed. The number of his months is with you. And you have set his limits so that he cannot pass. He can't pass from flesh to spirit unless there is conversion and the resurrection. You cannot pass into the spiritual realm as long as you are in the flesh. Paul wrote that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Look away from him so that he may rest until he shall finish his day as a hireling. For there is hope of a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again and its tender branches will not cease. Though its roots become old in the earth and the stump dies in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. That happens all the time in the desert where they don't have rain for years and years. All of a sudden they get rain once in 10 years. Boom! The whole desert blooms with flowers and all kinds of things. See? But man dies and is cut off and man expires, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea and a river withers away and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till heavens are no more. They shall not awake nor be awakened out of their sleep. Oh, that you will grant that you would hide me in the grave, and that you would keep me secret until your wrath is past, that you would set me a fixed time and remember me. He's just saying, God, all the trouble I've gone through, let me die. Well, it wasn't God's plan to let him die. Okay? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait until my change comes. You shall call. I will answer you. Just like Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. You shall have the desire for the work of your hands, for now you number my steps, but do you not watch over my sin? Then he goes on and he finishes out. So he's going to wait all the time in the grave till his change come. Okay? Now, without the Spirit, the body is dead. We are composed of body, which we know what that is, soul, which is the chemical, physical, electrical part of our brain, which is wired to the rest of our bodies to give us all the things we need to exist physically and chemically and electrically. Life comes from the spirit of man, which is in the brain. Where exactly in the brain, they don't know. But they do know that they have examined the head when someone is praying, and the top part of their head becomes very active. Now, is that where the spirit is? Don't know. But God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. God has called us, given us his spirit, shown us his plan, revealed his mystery, and the world out there doesn't know what's going on. Now, they may have some inkling of some things coming along, but they don't know how God is going to resolve it. And most of them don't even believe in Christ, and let alone the return of Christ. And so that's why when Christ returns and it's time for the resurrection, God is going to make sure the whole world knows this, that it is his work. These are his people. These are the ones rejected and despised by the world. But God loves and is going to give glory and honor and eternal life. And so that's why we have the Spirit of God now. We also know the secret of God, that all of those that God did not call, as we find there in Ezekiel 37 and Revelation 20, that God will resurrect them back to a second physical life for the first opportunity for salvation, just like Jesus gave Lazarus a second life for his opportunity for salvation. So, no souls are in heaven. No one goes to heaven. When you die, your thoughts cease. When you die in the faith, whatever we are on God's spiritual chip of the spirit of man with the spirit of God is at the throne room of God after we die. And then he takes this and brings it to the earth and puts it in a new body that is spirit with a spirit mind. And so that's how the resurrection is going to be. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.